Oh my God, it's working.
All right, a miracle.
She looks like she's coming out to the swimming pool.
All right, let's get started over here. We are holding six lines from the top of Corcoran Bay.
I sit outside waiting.
All right, so we've been discussing the question, we've been discussing the various things about an Onan eating Kodshim on the night after his Aninus. We started with our Mishnah implies that he doesn't get a portion of them, but he can eat somebody else's portion. We had a Mishnah in Tzachim that seems to imply the opposite. We were discussing the opinions of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Huda on that subject. The last thing we mentioned is that Rava had said that Rabbi Shimon himself would make a distinction between Lachatchila and B'diyeved. If you have this Onan over here, where Lachatchila they should not shech the Korban Pesach on his behalf, once he became an Onan, even if, according to the Girsa and our Gemara, even if that's Lachatchila. But B'diyeved, if they did, then he can go ahead and eat it. Then he can go ahead and eat it, and that is on the basis that Achila Sosach in Ma'akra, that eating the Korban Pesach is essential to the purpose of it. The purpose of the Korban Pesach is in order to be. So we mentioned in that,
so therefore,
once you shechted it, once B'diyeved, they shechted it, then we should allow him to eat. So we mentioned in that connection, the last thing we mentioned is that Rabbi Bar Rav Huna says that concept that Achila Sosachim Ma'akra. So we have to figure out.
It renders impossible.
Not so much that it renders, not that it renders it possible per se. The fact is, assuming that other people were registered for that Korban Pesach, then the other people can eat it. But nevertheless, though, the fact that the Korban Pesach is meant to be eaten. So ma'akev in the sense that it's an essential part of the bringing of the korban. Unlike most other korbanos, where unlike all other korbanos, where the kohenim and the owners and whatever are supposed to eat them, but that's a side thing that has nothing to do with the bringing of the korban itself. Here, the whole purpose of the korban pesach is in order to be eaten.
So it's 90% meat and 10%
dough. Well, that's fine. I mean, the 90% the pashtus will eat. The 90% the pashtus will eat. The part that the 10% can't eat because they're owning. But that's not the point. The point is that we're still saying that a Korban Pesach shouldn't be shechted that we shouldn't have it, that a Korban Pesach has been shechted and now we're not going to be able to eat it. Some of the people who are registered for it are not going to be able to eat it. Therefore, and then you could have, conceivably you could also have only one person is registered for a Korban Pesach, and in that case if it's not eaten, the whole thing is going to become noiser. But the point is that if we say Achila Sosachim Ma'afra, unlike we talked about on Omer Aleph, according to Abaye, that maybe Achilas Sosachim is not ma'akev, that it's just like any other korban in that regard, the eating is a side thing. If we say Achilas Sosachim ma'akva, then we would say once the korban's already been shechted, then we should be allowing him to eat it. Because the eating of the korban pesach, unlike all other korbanos, is something more essential to it than it is with other korbanos. That's just mentioned. The word ma'akev doesn't necessarily mean literally that it's ma'akev as in without it, the korban is possible. But still, the point is that the Torah associates the bringing of the korban with the eating it, ish lefi ochloi, and therefore it's more logical to say that aninus laila, which we're discussing over here, is only derabanan, should be set aside in favor of that. Okay. So my derabba bar Rav Huna, where do we see Rabba bar Rav Huna saying this concept that achilas sochem ma'akva, that the achilas sochem is something essential to, or something very important about the korban? So like this, the Tanya, we learn in a brisa, yom shmua, the day when a person hears that their close relative died. Now you have, in halacha, you have the difference between what's called shmua kroiva and shmua rechoiva. Shmua kroiva is where he heard about it within 30 days of the death. Shmua rechoiva is any time after that. Here we're talking about Shmua Kroiva. So here we're talking about where his relative died, let's say, Rosh Chodesh Nissan, and he hears about it sometime later in Nissan, but still within 30 days. So Yom Shmua Ki Yom Kvura.
30 days in the Rabbanan?
Yeah, most dinim of Avelos are the Rabbanan. Here we've been talking about Aninus, which is Daraisa. Most of the other dinim of Avelos are the Rabbanan. So Yom Shmua Ki Yom Kvura, L'mitzvah Shiva Ushlosh, and the day of Shmua is like the day of burial as far as counting Shiva from there and counting Shloshim from there. So again, let's say, for example, that his relative died, let's say, Rosh Chodesh Nissan. He doesn't hear about it, let's say, until Issu Chag Pesach. At that point is when he begins counting Shiva and when he begins counting Shloshim, just as if the actual burial had taken place on that day. Vila Achilas Sochim, And also, as far as eating Pesach, the last of the Sukkim is the beginning of a new clause. Yes, he hears it later on in the same month.
So then
you'd have Shiva would be canceled by Pesach, but that's another matter. That's why I mentioned the example where you only hear it after Pesach in order to avoid that conversation. Yeah. But as opposed to, in other words, if he heard it any time after Rosh Chodesh year, then the din is he would only do Avelos for a short time. And he'd only grab Avelos for a short time, not even a full day. Okay. So Yom Shmuel against Yom Kippur, the mitzvah of Shiva or Shloshim, on the other hand, the Achilas Tzachim, when it comes to eating the Korban Pesach, then there's a different rule, till Yom Likut HaTzomer. Then, the day of Shmuel is equivalent, as far as eating the Korban Pesach, to the day of Likut HaTzomer. As I mentioned in a number of places, it used to be the common minhag of burial in those days was that they'd bury a person in a temporary grave, until the flesh is decayed, then they would gather up the bones and they would bury them in a container. I don't know if necessarily you later, I don't know, whatever it is. Because in those days, a lot of these things depend on minhag. In those days, this was the minhag, therefore it wasn't the Zohar HaMes to do that, because when they buried him, it was as a temporary thing, whereas a normal thing was that afterwards they're going to gather them and put them in what's called archaeologists call these things an ossuary, a box, sort of a stone box for the bones, right. Nowadays we don't bury we don't follow that thing, so therefore to dig up a body without a valid reason, such as, for example, to rebury them in Eretz Yisrael, or because the Beis HaChaim is going to be destroyed by the Goyim, like happened in many places in Eastern Europe, etc.
So why did
it
do that in Eretz Yisrael then?
Because wasn't it in Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz Lara? The pashtus was the everywhere, but eventually over time it hasn't changed. That's how it is. Anyway, the point is, Yom Likut HaTzomer, the din is that a person also has to treat that day as a day of Avelos. And in fact, the Mishnah says in Tzachim that Malakut HaTzomer, so we don't mean that he himself did the Likut because then he'd be Tame, but in other words, this Likut HaTzomer was done on his behalf of one of his close relatives on Erev Pesach, then he can Tovel and he can eat Kodshim, including the Korban Pesach, that evening. So in other words, it's only one day Avelos. So again, we have Yom Shmuel is regarding Shiva and Shloshim. Yom Shmuel is like the Yom Kippur as far as counting Shiva and Shloshim, but as far as eating Pesach, we consider it equivalent to the day of Likut HaTzomer, where there's only one day of Avelos by day. Echad Zeb. In either case, Tovel Ochel B'Kodshim La'erev. In either case, the person can Tovel, obviously, as long as he didn't touch the mess himself, and eat Kodshim that evening.
Whether it's Yom Shmuel.
Whether we're talking about Yom Shmuel or whether we're talking about liquid or something. Right.
Did you happen to read the Avelos?
I didn't specifically, but as far as I know, the vast majority of Avelos stuff is Dirabana. Even the 7 days of Avelos, even though it's mentioned as early as Parshas Vayechi, Vayach Lo'av of Evel Shivat Yomim, it's still considered to be Dirabana.
I think by
all of them. I don't know that there are any to say it's
okay.
Could be.
I know there's a four-way month like it.
All right.
But I don't remember.
I don't know. No, because even though it says in the Torah, Nitz and Torah, and it's Chacha Halacha, the Torah was given, and now we have new Halachas. If it was given as one of the 613 mitzvahs, then it would be a mitzvah. If not, then it means that it's effectively minhag of the Avos, which came down to us also as a minhag, but not the Rabbanon, whatever, but not something Darach. So you have Avelos of one day. For one day. That's what we're going to deal with later on. Okay. So now we have to figure out how good for kasha. We have a contradiction within this braisa itself. Amrit Yom Shmuel Yom Kvura L'mitzvah Shivo Shloshim. You're saying that Yom Shmuel is like the day of the burial itself, as far as counting Shiva and Shloshim from there. What we say the last of the Tzachim Yom Likut HaTzomer, but as far as eating the Korban Pesach, we treat it more leniently. We treat it like the day of Likut HaTzomer. No, wait, that's not the problem. For purposes of eating Pesach, we consider it rather like the day of Likut HaTzomer rather than like the day of Kvura Mitzvah Yom Kvura Afilu Erev Nami Le'ochel. Implying that if on a real Yom HaKvura, a person would not be able to eat Kodshim that evening. Because that's the implication. We're saying that as far as Shiva and Shloshim, Yom Shmuel is considered, Yom Shmuel is considered like Yom HaKvura, apparently in the sense that you can't eat Kodshim that evening either. On the other hand, when it comes to eating the carbon paste, that's then we're more lenient in order to allow him to eat the carbon paste that can be treated only like urine, liquid, or solid. So implying that the evening following the kavura, a person can't eat. But then the braisa continues, then the braisa continues, in either case, the person can tovel and eat kodshim that evening. So on Yunus Laila, after kavura does not exist, or at least doesn't exist on a daraisa level. So what is it? Are we saying that on Yunus Laila after kavura does exist or doesn't exist? And on that, so Amar Rav Chisda Tanoim, so Rav Chisda says it's actually a machlokas Tanoim, as we will discuss in a little bit where Rav Chisda sees that there's a machlokas Tanoim on it. But, and here is the reason why we're bringing this in, Rav Baba Barahona Amar Loi Kasha, Han Cheshama Shmuel Meite Sama Choshkiya Tachama. The one case is talking about where he heard the Shmua right before Shkia. So therefore, so right before Shkia, therefore, is So then we say that the on the day so therefore it's before Shkia, it's still during the day. Therefore the night is not considered to follow that, therefore he's able to tovel and eat kodshim that evening. Meaning in other words that in that case the night is not part of that anymore. Therefore he's able to tovel and eat the Pesach or any other kodshim that evening. Or similarly in the case of the literal tasamos, we'd be talking about that it was done shortly before Shkia. But where's the other case is la'achashkia tachama. The other case would be if he heard about it after Shkia, or the literal tasamos was done by Goyim in that case, it would have to be after Shkia. Where in that case, since it's after Shkia, it's already nighttime. Therefore, in other words, the shmua itself, or the liquid tatsamas itself, took place that night. Well, therefore, that night is considered part of the averus. Therefore, he can't eat kodshim. So that's how Rav Baravona would reconcile these two parts of the braisa. If it was before shkia, then we would say he can tovel and eat kodshim that evening. But if the shmua, or the liquid tatsamas, took place after shkia, then he would be barred from eating kodshim that evening.
The reason being,
because at that point, that's when the avedus is foul, because it's on the day of the shmur, on the day of the liquid tasamos, and since now that happened after shkia, that's when the day begins. So the question is, what do you mean la'achas shkia tachama? What do you mean he first heard about it, or the liquid tasamos was only done after shkia? My dehava hava. What's done is done. You already said. So in other words, why would Pesach be different than any other kodshim? You're telling me that as far as Achilas Pesachim, there's a leniency over here that we're going to allow him to do it, but if it happened only after Shkia, then on the day of the liquid itself, he's also to eat kodshim, or on the day of the Shmur, he's also to eat kodshim. Why should the Pesach be any different? And that is why, that's where we get El Shmam Yina Achilas Pesachim Ma'akha. So, says Rabbi Bar Avuna, from that you see that Achilas Pesachim is essential, and therefore, even in this case, where the shmur or the liquid tatsamos took place after shkia, nevertheless we're going to allow him to eat the korban pesach because again loyha midu divrein b'makom kares, because here where you have an issue of kares involved of not bringing the korban pesach, and in this case eating is considered part of the bringing of it, then we're going to allow him to. We are saying, according to Reb Shimon so far, we're dealing within Reb Shimon's opinion that it's Dirabanan, right? So Rashi says, if it was the actual day of Kavura itself, that's different, that's more stringent. Then the Rabbanan are going to be machmir on him and tell him he can't eat his carbon pesach because there you have a real problem that most people, usually if kavura takes place on the same day as the nisa. If you allow him to eat the carbon pesach the night after the kavura, then people may mistakenly think that the same thing applies even if the nisa and kavura were all on one day, and that we can't allow. So sometimes, Rashi says, sometimes we do find that Rabbanan make the rules exist even with Makom Kares. But ordinarily not. And this is one of those cases here where we're not dealing with Yom Mitzvah or Yom Kavura. We're only dealing with Yom Shmur or Yom Likur Tatsamas, which are more lenient. Then we're going to say for the Korban Pesach, we'll make an exception and allow him to eat the Korban Pesach. But not for other countries. But we wouldn't do that for Yom Kavura because that's already too close. Typically too close to Yom HaMitzvah, and there's too much of a concern that people are going to confuse those two. The point is, though, we see from this discussion, we see from Rabbi Bar Rapponi's explanation of the Braisa, that he understands that the Braisa to be saying, Achilas Pesachim Ma'asa, that the Achilas Pesachim is an essential part of the bringing of the Korban. That's what we were saying at the end of the Gemara yesterday, that Ravina, that Ravina explains that of Adab Amasna, that's why Rava can make a distinction between whether the Korban Pesach was shefted b'di'evad for the person when he became an onin after chatzos versus not, because once it was shefted already given that achilas stock and ma'afa, like we just established, then once it was shefted you have to allow him to eat it already. So that proves the point that we were out to prove, that there is this concept of achilas stock and ma'afa. Rav Ashi says, we don't necessarily have to understand it that way, because we should explain the braisa differently. My echad zeh ve'echad zeh, because you're assuming that the echad zeh ve'echad zeh means whether we're talking about Yom Shmua, or you're assuming that the echad zeh ve'echad zeh is talking about the Yom Lichus Atzamos and in either case, actually, we're saying as far as the two carbon stuff, as far as Yom Kavura, sorry. We assumed all this time that Echad Zeh Ve'Echad Zeh means whether it's the day of Kavura or the day of Likud Atzamos. So Rav Ashi says, you don't have to explain it that way. My Echad Zeh Ve'Echad Zeh, Tachat Kama, the word Echad Zeh Ve'Echad Zeh can mean Echad Yom Shmua Ve'Echad Yom Likud, whether it's the day of Shmua, whether it's the day of Likud, Tovol Ve'Ochol Ve'Kodshim La'Erev, and you can Tovol and eat Kodshim that evening, but not necessarily is the Braisa talking about the case of Yom Kavura. We were assuming that the Braisa is saying Yom Shmua Kiyom Kavura, but as far as Achilas Pesach is Kiyom Likud Atzamos, meaning in other words, when we say Echad Zeh Ve'Echad Zeh would be the day of Kavura or the day of Likud Atzamos, so Rav Ashi says no, maybe Echad Zeh Ve'Echad Zeh means the day of Shmua and the day of Likud Atzamos. But either way, Tov Ve'Ochol Ve'Kodshim La'Erev. But therefore not necessarily would that tell us anything about Achilas Pesach and Ma'aska as it relates to Yom Kavura. However, the Gemara says, V'hol Rav Ashi Bedusa. However, this that Rav Ashi is saying is Bedusa. Literally, Bedusa means a fiction. So you have a Mephoshim explaining, for example, that it may mean Rav Ashi didn't say this, that a Talmud inferred this from something that he said and attributed it to Rav Ashi, but really it was a wrong inference. In a number of places, Siddur, it talks about, we mentioned this before, in a number of places, Siddur talks about the idea of, Levick talks about it, for example, that we shouldn't think that it means it's fiction. Well, in that case, then what's it doing in the Torah, MS. It means it's still MS on a certain level, but the same, within MS itself, there are different levels. It has a certain, on one level of Torah, on one level of Chachmas, the Return of Shalakadosh Baruch Hu, it has validity, which is why Rav Ashi mentioned it. But on a higher or a deeper level, also Chachmas, the Return of Shalakadosh Baruch Hu, also of Torah, the same Torah declares that on a higher level, or once you analyze it, then it turns out to be not complete. It turns out to be not true after all. But it's still true on one level, and then not true on a different level, basically.
That's a bit.
But that's what I mean. Put it this way. No, but it is.
Who said that?
Mir Leibniz mentions this idea that you have the same Torah that said this idea. The same Torah also declared it Bedusa. No, as a matter of fact, actually, Bedusa means a fiction, like I just said. But you know, for example, the Alter Rebbe talks about in Tanya the idea that you have Fast Emes Tikkun La'ad V'Ad Argil L'Shoin Shocker, that you have a Sadik's Avoda is. It is constant. He's always on his same high level. Whereas a Beinoni might be sometimes, during the time when he's davening or whatever, he's on a higher level, but afterwards he's fighting with his Yetzer Hara the rest of the day. Nevertheless, at the time when he's temporarily subjugated as Yetzer Hara, at that point, that is Emes. That is still La'ad relative to the level where he is right now. If he were to remain in that state, Alavai, she's followed him, Kolayim, then he would be constant, then his Yetzirah would never have the ability to raise his head. Because he's not davening all day, because he goes about his business affairs or whatever, therefore the Yetzirah has a chance to wake up and try to test him, and he always fights it off, because that's what a Benjamin does. Nevertheless, the fact that he reached that level during his time of davening or learning is still MS on his level. That's the point. There are different levels of MS.
this is a couple, this is a concept.
It is, but it's also a very practical concept. Tanya is not just about Kabbalah. Tanya is about practicality, about avodah.
In your example, the level of MS is stable even for Beinoni.
No, 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 that's the point. In other words, the Beinoni, No, because you're talking about that the Beinoni is, during davening, his Yetzer Hara is completely quiescent. And at that point, you might even mistake him for a tzaddik, as on the first page of Tanya, where Abaya says to Rava, where Rava says on himself to burn on a Beinoni, and then Abaya says to him, well, Shabbat Ma'achai L'chol Beria. Right, so you could mistake one for the other. But after he davens, you can see his Yetzer Hara wakes up again, his Nefshalamus wakes up again. He's constantly keeping it under a lid. He constantly, whenever it tries to tempt him, Machshava Dibur Maaseh, that he always fights it off. But nevertheless, you can't say, and that's the point, in other words, you have a certain level of emes that he's reached during davening. He doesn't manage to retain that level during the rest of his day. During the rest of the day, he's actually having to fight off his Yetzer Hara. Nevertheless, still considered emes on his level. Because during the time.
Why should it not be considered MS?
Because fast MS kicks in the heart. MS is something permanent. MS is something ongoing. Here it's not ongoing. Here it only exists during the time of davening and learning, and then afterwards it goes away. So what I'm saying is, Alfred Eber develops the idea over there that MS has to be something that's permanent, that it never changes, but here you see by the Beinoni it changes. You have one way that he is during davening and a different way that he is during the rest of his day. Nevertheless, the level that he reached during the time of davening is considered MS on his level because the point is, his circumstances change, but nevertheless, the MS that he reached at that time is still a valid MS. Same thing over here, then, in other words. So you have, what Rav Ashi is saying over here is MS on one level of Chochmasa Ritzono Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but on another level, the same Chochmasa Ritzono Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, consider it fiction, don't consider it valid, and don't... Let's go on in the Gemara, but that's what it is. That's what it is. We have to realize that when we say bedutzehi, we don't mean it's fake, like fake news, like the expression they use nowadays, and therefore toss it out. It's still part of Torah. It's still just as much part of Torah as any other part. And the reason, so why are we saying that Rav Ashi is bedutzeh? Mechi alakoi, because after all, the Braisa was talking about Yom Shmua and about Yom Lukat Asamos. So then, in that case, zev is everybody. So in that case, what are you using the expression echad zev, echad zev? Which implies that you're talking about two other scenarios that are not mentioned that were mentioned sort of by the way in the Braisa. We said Yom Shmua Ki Yom Kvura, and then Ki Yom Likut Asamos. If it meant that we're talking about Yom Shmua and Yom Likut Asamos itself, then the expression should be Zev Zev, this and this. But Echad Zev implies that we're talking about both of these things that we're comparing to. Elishmam in the Bedusahi, so therefore we see that what Rav Ashi is saying must be Bedusah. So we can't accept his explanation of the Braisa. We're left with either Rav Chista's explanation that the Braisa represents Machlokes Tanoim about Aninus being by night, or rather by Rav Chista's explanation that Aninus does exist by night, but the Chachamim relaxed it for the sake of eating the Korban Pesach. So now let's get to Rav Chista's understanding. Umay Tanoi, where do we see that there's a machlokes Tanoim on the subject? The Tanya, because we're learning a brisa. Ad Mosai Mitzonin Olav, how long does Aninus last, that a person is also Chief Kodshim? Kol Hayom, the entire day. Now at this point in the discussion, we assume that the daytime, meaning not the night. Rebbe Yom, called Manchel and Nikba. Rebbe says, as long as he hasn't been buried. Which sounds like Rebbe is being natal. It sounds like Rebbe is saying, as soon as the burial took place, then Aninus is over. So both of those points we're going to be dealing with now in the discussion in the study. So Bamayakin. So first of all, what case are we talking about over here? Ilema b'yem misa. Are you talking about on the day of the misa itself? Well, what do you mean? What do you mean? That you have over the Tanakama saying kol hayom and fine, but not the night. Is there any opinion that says, of all the opinions we've had so far, that at least on a drabbanon level, you don't have aninus during the night following the mitzvah? Even all the opinions we were talking about so far, Rabbi Yehuda, Shimon, the whole studio so far, took it for granted that there is definitely animus on the night after the Misa. The Raita, the Rabbanon, but at least the Rabbanon. So how do you have it?
The
left leg, the Yom Misa, that doesn't hold, that the day of Misa, the Tovis Lele, that it shouldn't grab on and extend into the night, Midi Rabbanon. So it can't be. Who would this Tanakama be like? That it's not even Midi Rabbanon, that doesn't exist. That it doesn't exist. You have Rabbi Yehuda arguing that's the Raita. You have Rabbi Shimon arguing that's the Rabbanon. We said within Rabbi Shimon itself, maybe sometimes we're imposing it, sometimes we're not. But nobody says that it doesn't exist at all.
At night,
the following night.
Right.
The two, and also, you have to consider what he means. Okay, but that's what I mean. The two, and furthermore, you have to ask, you also, the Braith also doesn't seem to work out. When you say Rebbe Omer called Manshul in Nitver, what do you mean Rebbe says Aninus exists only as long as the mess is not buried? What does that mean? How Kovra is distributed, right? So what are you telling me, that as soon as the mess is buried, immediately the person is released from Aninus? Well, me, Ika, the last slave, Akhrisa, Kiyemar. Do you know of any Tana who doesn't hold of the expression of the expression represented by the pasuk and its end is like a bitter day? So Tosfos explains the beginning of that pasuk says the Santila Evil Yochid, I will make the day when the Aseret HaShvatim kingdom, whatever it is destroyed. I'll make it like the day of an evil that a person has after an only son, Ba'achrisa Kiyemar, and the aftermath of it like a bitter day. So we see from that the aftermath of Avelos extends for an entire day, whether the mess was buried or not. Rashi has a different explanation, an interesting explanation over here of what the Pasuk means. Rashi says Achrisa means the aftermath of a man being involved with a Zoyna. And eventually what's going to happen is he's going to end up having been involved with her. Eventually he's going to die as a punishment for that. And people are going to be in Avelos on him. This is the only place where Rashi explains this thing. On the side over here, it mentions that in other places in chats where the Gemara brings this pasuk, Rashi explains more straightforwardly, like Tosfos says, that it just means that the aftermath of Avelos. Anyway, whatever it is, the point is, you have, based on that pasuk, there is the concept that Aninus exists up for a complete day, for the day of the Misa. But so far we have two problems with the Braisa. Number one, you can't say that the Chachamim in the Braisa or the Tanakama in the Braisa is saying there's no Aninus by night after Misa. Everybody agrees there's Aninus on some level, either Daraisa or Jerabanan. Second of all, you can't say that Rebbe is even more makel than that and says it doesn't even last for a full day, because you have the Pasuk Ba'achrisa Kiyemar. So we have to understand what the Braisa is saying. Rav Sheshet, Ayem Kvurachoy. So Rav Sheshet says, you're right. The Braisa is not talking about the day of Misa. The Braisa is talking about where the mess died yesterday or some day, a few days ago, whatever, and they buried him today. So now we can have the Tanakama can hold that Aninus doesn't extend to the night after the Kvura, and Rabbi would hold that it doesn't even extend the full day, that it ends after the Kvura. But now we're not done with the discussion yet, because we have to go through the discussion. We're still in the middle of the discussion how we're going to see from this Braisa, that there was a machlokes of Tanoim about the question of Aninus Laila as it relates to what we were saying before about eating the Korban Pesach. Maskif Rav Yosef, Maskif Lo Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef asks on that, Eloha B'Katoni, if you're going to understand the Braisa that way, that's talking about Yom HaKvura, then what are you going to do with this that it says in the Braisa? Hashemeya Al-Mezo, this that we said before, we quoted the Braisa before, I mean, Hashemeya Al-Mezo, is somebody who heard news that his close relative died within the last 30 days. Kimalakit HaSomis, or Bahamalakit HaSomis, or somebody who's doing Malakit HaSomis, Tovah v'Ochel b'Kodshim La'erev, so you can Tovah on each Kodshim that evening. Miklal, imply, now Shemei Al-Mesa and Malakat HaSomis have to be more lenient than Yom HaKvura. Yom HaKvura is the initial burial after the Misa, that has to be stronger than Yom Shemua and Yom Lukat HaSomis. For Miklal, the implication has to be the Yom Kvura after the La'erev Nami La'ochel. The implication is that Yom Kvura has to be more stringent, and you shouldn't be able to eat Kodshim that night. Otherwise, there's no real difference between Yom Shmua and Yom Kvura, and you know that Yom Kvura has to be stronger. So you can't explain the Braisa that we just quoted, the Machlokes of Rebbe and Chachamim, as referring to Yom Kvura. Because then what would you be saying? The Chachamim are saying that it doesn't, that doesn't extend into the night. Rebbe holds it doesn't even extend the full day. But that would mean then that so Yom Likud HaTzomus then would be exactly the same thing. The Chachamim would be saying that Yom Kvura and Yom Shmua and Yom Likud HaTzomus, all of them you have available only by day and not by night. And that can't be. Yom Kvura has to be stronger than the others. There has to be a hierarchy over here. Yom Mitzvah is the strongest. Yom Kvura is the next strongest. Especially like Rashi said before, because Kvura usually happens on the same day. And Shmua and Likud HaTzomus have to be less, yeah.
Mitzvah.
And then Shmuel and Likud HaTzomus. Yeah.
What are you looking at?
Okay. So therefore, so Rav Yosef says you can't understand the Braisa that way. You have to ask because Homani, because you would have to ask then who, this Braisa that mentions about Shmuel and Likud HaTzomus, and you're telling me that he can eat Kodshim that evening, which implies only in those cases, but not Yom Kippurah. Then which of these two opinions would that be going like? It wouldn't work according to the Chachamim, wouldn't work according to Rebbe. Because both the Chachamim and Rebbe would be saying that even on Yom Kippurah, you can eat Kodshim that evening, whereas the implication, the Braisa, that Shmua and Likud HaTzomus, is that with Yom Kippurah you can't, only with Shmua and Likud HaTzomus, which are more lenient, of course. So then we don't have enough. It wouldn't work according to Rebbe, and it wouldn't work according to the Chachamim.
The Chachamim and the Braisa
that we just quoted arguing with Rebbe, if you're going to tell me that their Braisa is talking about Yom Kippurah, then that would mean both of them hold that you can eat Kodshim the night after Yom Kippurah, but then we have another Braisa that's implying that you can't. You can only eat Kodshim the night after Shmua or Likud HaTzomus, which is less stringent.
You say
there's
two Braisas, but it's different.
But you have to find an author for the other Braisa. Yeah. We have the opinion of Rebbe, we have the opinion of Chachamim. We don't know of any other opinion. If you can find another opinion that deals with it, it's fine, but we don't have. Elotrit. So you have to clarify, you have to explain the Braisa as follows. The Braisa that we quoted before on Mosen is Onan Olav, where the Chachamim said Kol Yom and Rebbe said Kol Man Shalem Nikver. You have to reinterpret the Braisa as follows. Ad Mosen is Onan Olav. How long does a Ninus last? That a person is also for Kodshim. Kol Osa Yom Vilele. That entire day and the following night. Again, you want to assume it's talking about Yom HaKvura, then fine. Rebbe Yomer called Manshal and Nifra, and Rebbe says, no, only as long as he wasn't buried, Abel Nifra v'loy leiloy. But once he was buried, then fine, it continues maybe the rest of that day, but then at least that following night, it becomes Mutter. So therefore, now we can say, so fine, he'll be also all that daytime, but come night, he'll be able to toivel on that night, he'll be able to eat kosher. Therefore, the other Braisa that we quoted that said that Malakat HaSomet in Yom Shavua is toivel v'oichel v'kodshim, that could work actually according to that could work according to the Chachamim. And the Chachamim would say that Yom Kippurah the following night is Osir, and Yom Mitzvah certainly. Yom Kippurah the following night is Osir, but Yom Shmua and Yom Likud HaTzomus is not. But if we understand it that way, then we're good. Then we have a way of understanding both Braisos.
And the second Braisa would mean what?
So then we have the Braisa where the Chachamim and Rebbe were arguing. Fine, you could say, like Rav Sheshet is saying, that it's talking about Yom Kippurah, but it's talking about Yom Kippurah, but you have to understand the Chachamim when they say Kol HaYom to be the day and the night, and Rebbe saying that it means at Kol Zman Shel Nikvah, meaning for the rest of the day on which the person was buried, but not the following night. And then Kalayan can mean the day, including not just the daytime, but the whole day, including the following night. Why? Because when it comes to Kodshim, Alayla Hulachacha Yom, night follows the day when it comes to dinim of Kodshim. Therefore, Kalayan can mean what's considered the day relative to Kodshim. Okay, and then we would say again that when it comes to Yom Shmur, Yom Likud HaTzomus, then we're more lenient, and then everybody will agree that the following night you can eat Kodshim. Okay. Okay, so they told over this discussion and this explanation of Rabbi Yosef. They told over to Rabbi Yirmiya. Omar, and he said, I don't understand. Gavra Rabba to Rabbi Yosef, Lema Achi. How could a great person like Rabbi Yosef say that way and explain the Braisa that way? It doesn't work. Lema de Rebbe Lakula, because you're telling me that Rebbe is trying to be makel against the Tanakhama, because that was the assumption so far, that the Tanakhama is saying that first we assume that it meant the Tanakhama is saying the whole day, and Rebbe's saying only until the burial, and then stops even if it's the middle of the day. Now we're understanding, now Rebbe Yosef is saying the Chachamim are saying the following night, and Rebbe is saying not including the night. So either way, Rebbe is being makel against the Chachamim. But Rebbe Yirmiyah says that doesn't work. The Hot Tanya, because we have yet another Braita. A lot of these braises that we're quoting, by the way, come from the Masechta Smachos, which is one of the Masechta Ketanis, which deals with the Dinim of Aveva. The official name of the Masechta is Evel Rabbi, but we call it Smachos as a euphemistic name instead of calling it Evel. Yeah, but a lot of the dinim and minhagim of burial and shiva and so forth come from there. Okay, anyway.
Why is it name so euphemistic?
Because what are you going to call them? The staff that evolved? Okay. So we have another braisa that says Ad Mosan this Oninolov called Mansha in and Nishbra for the Mekan Bada Sara Yamim Give Rebbe, that Rebbe says how long does Aninus last? As long as the body hasn't been buried, even if it's 10 days later, so therefore he sees Machmer, Bachamam in this Oninolov Al Oisa Yun Bilvad, Bacham say Aninus only lasts that 1 day of Misa or Kvora, either way. So therefore we see that Abban and Amesal against Rebbe. So you can't explain, Rebbe Yosef, that so therefore, Yirmi is saying, I can't understand how a great Talmud Chacham like Rabbi Yosef could misunderstand the Braita that way. Maybe he didn't, but that's apparently Rabbi Yirmi expected that he should. I don't know. Ela Tritzal. Note, rather, Rabbi Yirmi says you have to explain things as follows. Ad Misonin Olav, Kol Osa Yom Below Melo. How long does Aninus last? Let's go back to our original assumption that when the Chacham said Kol Yom means only the daytime, not the night. Rebbe Omer called Man Shalei Mitzvah, but here we're going to, the twist is we're going to explain Rebbe differently. Instead of like before where we thought that Rebbe meant as soon as the Kavura takes place and Aninus is over, even in the middle of the day, no, now we're going to explain Rebbe the other way around. Rebbe Omer called Man Shalei Mitzvah. Rebbe says Aninus continues as long as the burial has taken place.
To fit with his
last braisa. The im nikbar, and even if the person was buried in the middle of the day, tofes lele, nevertheless the night is still part of it, and Aninus still lacks during the night, and therefore Rebbe would say that he can't be eating kosher. Called manshul nikbar, the im nikbar tofes lele. So Rebbe would be the one who's saying that the following night is included in the Aninus as well, even if the burial took place earlier that day. So the opposite of how we explained Rebbe before. The point being, though, now we understand when Rav Chisda said before that we have a machlokas tanoim on this subject, whether a person can eat his korban pesach on the night following kvura or on the night after or on the night after shmur or liquid asam, right? So now, when Rav Chisda said that's Machloka Tanoim, now we see the Machloka Tanoim, where we have the Chachamim saying that Aninus doesn't exist by night after the Kvura anyway. So therefore he can go ahead and tovel and eat Kodshim. And whereas Rebbe says that it does extend into the night. Until the following morning, I understand.
That's according
to Rav Yirmiyah's understanding of the Braita. Once you change our understanding of Rebbe's explanation. Amrua Kameda Rabba, so now they told over this discussion to Rabba, this is going from bouncing around from one yeshiva to another, and Rabba comments on this, Midka'omer Rebbe Yom Kvura Tofes Leila Midrabanan, if Rebbe is saying now on the day of Kvura, the night is included in the Aninus, on a Midrabanan level, that must mean the cloud, the Yom Misa Tofes Leila Midaraita, that must mean that Rebbe holds that Aninus, whatever, on the night following the Misa must exist on a Daraita level. Because again, we have to say that Misa is stronger than Kvura. If Rebbe is going to say that the Chachamim imposed Aninus after the day of Kvura, on the night after the day of Kvura, it has to be because they're basing themselves on the idea that we're gonna revisit that idea in a second. But right now, this is what Robert is assuming that if Rebbe holds that the night after Yom Kvura is the Rabbanan, since Yom Mitzvah must be stronger, and we shouldn't assume that...
No, it's Rabbanim.
Because we just said, that we just said, we just said that Rabbi says that Yom Kippur Tosef Lo Lo Rabban. So, well, he said, "Kol Zman Shlo Nikva V'im Nikva Tosef Lo Lo." If it, if once he was buried, then because nobody holds, because we don't have anybody yet saying that after the Kippur that there should be Aninus during the night Darayt. So of necessity, it has to be the Rabban. The only mitzvah we had before, we had Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Shimon arguing whether it's Daraisa. You don't find anybody saying that that the night after Yom Kippur is Daraisa. And at this point, and Robert is assuming the Chachamim are not going to make their Zeris any stronger than what the Torah itself makes. So if the Torah itself makes that on the night after Yom Mitzvah, then you have also Aninus on the night after that, fine. The Chachamim will apply to say the same thing to Yom Kippur. But if the Torah itself would not even impose aninus avelus on the night after Mitzvah, on the face of it, we are the Chachamim getting the ability to and the idea to impose it on the night after Kippurah. Again, it has to be Derabbanan by elimination, because it can't be Daraisa, because nobody holds that it's Daraisa. But what we're saying is, Rava is assuming that the Chachamim. Why would the Chachamim make that the night after Kavura is there is an inus? It must be because that is Tofet, because they're modeling it on what the Torah does with Yom Mitzvah. The Torah makes the night after Yom Mitzvah to have an inus, like Rabbi Yehuda had said earlier in the Sogya, and therefore the Chachamim did the same thing for Yom Kavura. But if you're going to say that Midoraisa is not even an inus after Yom Mitzvah, why would the Chachamim make Yom Kippurah in a way even stronger than Yom Mitzvah and impose an inner sign on the night after?
Right.
Yeah.
But if they did, it's Midrabanan, but why would they make Yom Kippurah as strong as Yom Mitzvah?
Because again, you could say that the Chachamim model their Xeris and on the things that are right. If the Torah made that on Yom Mitzvah, you have day and you have night, and the Chachamim are going to do the same thing with Yom Kippurah. Remember, Yom Kippur, the whole thing. Because they model it on how the Torah did it. So the Chachamim felt a need to make a Zera that, to make a Takana, that there's a Ninus on Yom Kippur, for the reason that Rashi said before, because typically the Mitzvah and the Kippur happen on the same day and you don't want people to get confused. So by the same logic, therefore, they would apply it to the night afterwards for the same reason, because the Torah applied it to the night afterwards. But if you're going to say that the whole concept of Aninus Laila, even after Yom Mitzvah, is only Zerabanan, then we're the Chachamim getting the idea to impose it after Yom Kippur. So now the question becomes, Sover Rebbe Aninus Laila Daraisa? So you're telling me that Rebbe holds that Aninus on the night after the Mitzvah is Daraisa? Well, Hatanya, but we learn it a Braisa. In the discussion, now we start getting to the discussion between Aaron and Moshe and Parashat Shmini. Aaron says over there, "Hein Hayom," behold today. So that's the discussion over there where Aaron was an Onan, and he argued that he shouldn't be eating certain korbanos.
This is the Sover Rabbi Aminus.
This is a question. Sover Rabbi Aminus by the Jaraisa. On the night after the Mitzvah. On the night after the Mitzvah. Yeah. So Aaron says to Moshe, "Hein Hayom." We just said because Rava actually said flat out that Rebbe apparently holds that Aninus Laila after Mitzvah is Daraisa, and therefore the Chachamim modeled it on that and made the same thing with after Yom Kippur. Yeah. Now, the problem with that is, we learn in a Braisa, when Aaron says to Moshe, "Hein Hayom," that behold, you have these korbanos that were offered today when we were owning him, so now we can't be eating them because we're all owning him, me and Elazar and Isamar, we're all owning him after Nadab and Abihu died, and there's no other korbanim available to eat them, so therefore, of necessity, one particular korban, we'll discuss later, it was a story of Rosh Chodesh. We're going to get to that later in the sermon. So Aaron is making the point, "Hein Hayoin, today nothing can be done about it." But Aaron is implying in future generations that won't be an issue, because in future generations there will be other Kohanim who eat them. Not all the Kohanim are going to be owning him when one Kohen dies. Like this, Nadav and Abihu died, and all the Kohanim who exist at that time, Aaron is their father, Elazar and some are their brothers, they're all owning him. In future generations, it's not going to be like that. You're going to have other Kohanim who are more distantly related and are not going to be owning him after one Kohen dies. So therefore, Aaron is implying. Well, we're going to discuss Pinchas later, but yeah, we're going to get to Pinchas later. Wait, but the point is that Aaron is saying to Moshe, the reason why we burnt the korban is because right now nobody can eat it because we're all owning him, as opposed to that's only hayyim, that's only today. It won't be like that in future generations. So the Braita explains, what Aaron means is ani hayyim oser. I am also to eat it today, the Lila Mutter. By night, I would in fact be able to eat it, as we're going to discuss later in that case, why they end up burning it, rather, right? Well, wait. The Ladurus, that's the point of Rabbi Yehuda, wait. The Ladurus, Ben Beyom, Ben Belila also, Divir Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Yehuda goes on to say that the implication is that in future generations, both by day and by night, it will be also. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that, Divir Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda is saying an exception would be made in this case only because, practically speaking, there are no other Kohenim, and Hashem wouldn't have wanted the Korban to go to waste. It's supposed to be eaten by the Kohenim. So therefore, now why they ended up burning it, we're going to deal with later in the sugya, according to this opinion, why they did end up burning it instead of leaving it for the night and eating it, according to Rabbi Yehuda. But so far, this is what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, that Hein Hayoim implies, Hayoim has a double meaning, therefore, means Hayoim as in today uniquely in history, and it also means Hayoim as in during the daytime now. Rabbi Omer, no.
Future day.
Yeah. Rabbi Omer, Aninus Laila, Eni Medivra Torah, Ala Medivra Sotim. Rabbi says, no, the whole concept of Aninus Laila is not Midaraita, it's only Midrabbanan. So therefore, not like you, Rabbi Yehuda, are saying that in future generations, when a Kohen becomes an Onim, then he won't be able to eat Kodshim by night either. Rabbi clearly says that's on a Daraita level, that's not true, only Midrabbanan.
It's an exception for the case of
Aaron. Rebbe would say that when Aaron says Hein Hayoim, it means I'm only also to eat this korban today. I will in fact be able to eat it tonight.
But Rabbi Yehuda.
Rabbi Yehuda says that the Doris in future generations, it'll be also during the Laila as well, because he holds Aninus Laila as Daraita, as we discussed at the beginning of the story.
And he holds it because of Aaron.
Because that's how he understands Aaron Akron's words. Hein Hayoim. He says it's both. That's the thing. He's saying it's a word.
Aninus Laila means that the person is
still not
buried.
No. Not even Abihu were buried on the spot.
They
were buried on the spot. No. We're talking about on the day of the Mishnah. The day of the Mishnah, in this case, it was the day of the Kavura as well. We're talking the following night. But Rabbi Yehuda is holding that the word Hayoim has a double meaning. It means that Hayoim, we have an exception where I'm only also by day. But Ladoris, it won't be that way. Ladoris, in future generations, I would, in fact, be also by night as well. That's how he understands the passage.
But from when?
That's what we're going to see later on in the story, how he learns what happened over here, what the story was. The point is, that's how Rabbi Yehuda understands.
Whereas, exceptionally today.
Exceptionally today, yes. Whereas Rebbe is saying the whole concept of Aninus Laila is only Derabbanan. So Rava just said that Rebbe holds Aninus Laila as Daraita. This Braita clearly says that not. So the answer is, La'olam d'rabbanan. No, we're going to actually answer that Aninus Laila is always...
You can't just interrupt every other word. You've got to wait for it, and it's not fair to me. I'm not understanding anything.
Let me throw it again. It's kind of true, I'm not sure. The answer will be given in a second. So wait. Rava assumed that if Rebbe is saying Aninus Laila after the Kvura is Rabbanan, Rava assumed that that can only be because Aninus Laila after Misa is Daraita, and therefore the Chachamim modeled what they did after Yom HaKvura and what the Torah does after Yom HaMisa. Now we're going to say, based on the Braita that we just quoted, that Rebbe holds that the whole concept of Aninus Laila is only Rabbanan. So now we're going to say no. La'olam d'rabbanan. You were going to say that after all, according to Rebbe, even the night after the Misa is only d'rabbanan. And we're going to say, unlike what we assumed before, that the Chachamim don't make their Xeris any stronger than the Dinim d'Araisa, we're going to say, the Chachamim also chizik v'divrein, yoyis d'mishal Torah. We're going to say that the Chachamim made a stronger fence around their Dinim d'rabbanan than the Torah made around its things, d'Araisa. So, in other words, like this, the Torah imposes Aninus only on the day of the Misa, but the Torah didn't find it necessary to impose it on the night after the Misa. But the Chachamim, when they imposed it on Yom HaKvura, found it necessary to also impose it on the night after it. So therefore we can say, in other words, according to Rebbe, Aninus on Yom HaMisa, on the daytime, is Daraisa. Aninus on the night following... Yeah, Aninus on the night... Yeah, Bachrus HaFilei Ma'am. Aninus on the night following the Misa is Rabbanan, Rebbe. say, not like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that it's deraisa, Rabbi is going to say it's derabanan. And ninus and yema kvura is derabanan. And aninus on the night after the kvura is also derabanan. Derabanan have made their zera regarding yema kvura stronger than what the Torah did regarding yema mitzvah. No, because in the Jaraisa, there wouldn't, according to Rebbe, there's no aninus on the night after Yom HaMitzvah. That's only, that itself is only the Rabbanan.
The day of.
The day of. Right, but the day of Mitzvah is Jaraisa, and the night of Mitzvah is Rabbanan.
So, Jaraisa is the Rabbanan.
Right, but in other words, the Torah doesn't impose any kind of aninus by night, not after Yom HaMitzvah, and certainly not after Yom HaKvurah. And the Chachamim are not only imposing it after Yom HaMitzvah, but also after Yom HaKvurah, where Yom HaKvurah itself is itself only Dirabanan.
It's not really a
Gzera on a Gzera. I mean, it's called Chachamim also Chizit V'Divrein, Yosef Mishal Torah, that the Chachamim had to make more of a fence around their Gzeras because people are, in other places, the Gemara explains, the reason is because the Chachamim, because people are likely to be more careless with Dinim Dirabanan. Things that are right that people understand are important, so they're not gonna go and violate them. But things that are bonan, people are likely to think are not as important, and therefore sometimes we find the Chachamim had to make them even stronger. So like this, the Chachamim make it that aninus exists even on the night afterwards, as part of the gzera of making that it exists during the day of Kvura. Okay, so now that we reach that point, therefore, so now we can modify what Rava said before. Rava before thought to say that Rebbe holds Aninus Laila after Yom HaMitzvah is Zaraisa. Now we're saying that no, Rebbe would hold both kinds of Aninus Laila are Drabanan, as well as Yom HaKvurah itself is also only Drabanan. Okay. So now we're going to start analyzing in more detail the story of Aaron and Moshe. In brief, what you have in the Sukkim over there is, after Nadav and Avihu die, Moshe tells Aaron that you have to eat the korbanos anyway, as we're going to discuss now. Moshe finds out later on that one of the korbanos has been burnt. He gets angry at Elazar and Summer, why'd you burn it? And then goes through the various possibilities, as we're going to see in the Gemara, what could have gone wrong with it that made you burn it? And eventually Aaron HaKohen speaks up and explains to Moshe what's going on over here that we had a valid reason to. And by Yishma Moshe, by Yisab Ve'enov, Moshe heard, and it was good in his eyes. That's the skeleton of the story. Now we're going to discuss it in detail, what exactly happened. That's what we're going to see. Basically, it has to do with the fact that they were owning him, but we're going to get into the details of exactly what happened. Turn on the bottom. We learn in a Braisa. Moshe says, Kichen Sivesi. You have two different expressions in the Pesukim over there. You have one pasuk that says over there where Moshe tells Aaron, take the mincha that was offered as part of the Korbanos HaMiloyim and eat it in the Azara. Kichen Sivesi, because thus I was commanded. Then Moshe is saying, as I was commanded. Kichen Suvesi, yeah. Okay, thank you. Good. Okay, so let's see the actual script. Okay. So Moshe starts by saying like this. By Dabra Moshe, Aaron, the laws of the son of Bonavanathan, Chorus HaMincha and Esedes Nesha Hashem, take the mincha that's left from the fires of Hashem, the Chlua Masas Eitzel HaMizbeach, and eat it as Masas near the Mizbeach, Ki Kodesh Kodosh, meaning in the Azara, Ki Kodesh Kodosh Ni, Ba'achal Tamos B'makam Kodesh, Ki Chok Kavach HaKonech and Yishe Hashem, Ki Chen Tzu Vesi, because this is how I have been commanded by Hashem. Then you have a few psukim later, when Moshe is angry at Elazar and Itamar, that the korban was burnt, he says to them, Ochol Toichlu Oysa B'Kodesh Kashet Tzu Vesi, you should have eaten it in the holy place, as I commanded. That's what we have to figure out what this means. So, kichen suvesi means kasher suvesi. So we have kichen suvesi and we have kasher suvesi. One that I was commanded and one that I commanded. So what does that mean? Means kasher, and you have also at the end of the sukkah before that, kasher sivashim. So it means like this. Kichen tu beisi. When Moshe says, thus I was commanded, meaning va'aninu siechluha, means that I was told that you should be eating these korbanos, even though you're owning them, even though none of an avio died today. Kasher tsi beisi, and when he says, as you spoke him later, as I commanded that you should have eaten this chatas hashfardish instead of burning it, he means b'shach maisa omalahem. It means that he told it to them b'shach maisa. At the time when they became oyanim, he told them immediately on the spot that they should nevertheless be eating these kodshim. So now, when he said now, that's why he says over there, Ochel toichlo oisim haKodesh kasher tzivesi. I already told you earlier today that you should be eating them. So why did you go and so that you should go that you should be eating it? So why did you burn it? And when it says Kasher Tziva Hashem, when it says a few psukim earlier, Kasher Tziva Hashem, that means Moshe is clarifying for them, Loi me'ela ani omer, I'm not saying it on my own, it's not just my own deduction that you should be eating the baninus. This is what Hashem told me. Okay. For now, Urmini, so that's one braisa. So that's one braisa which explains those three expressions. That Hashem had told it, that Hashem had commanded Moshe that they should eat at Baninus. Moshe told them to shach maisa, and Moshe is informing them at that time, you should know this isn't my own deduction, this is what Hashem told. Now, Urmini, because otherwise you would think maybe he was one of the shalosh, was one of the yudim, and if he did, by the way, as great as Moshe is, the other chachamim would have the ability to disagree with his derivation using the yudim midas, as opposed to including Aaron, as opposed to if it was something directly told to him by Hashem, and there's no arguing with that. Okay, the Gemara says urmini. Now I have a contradiction to that. Because you have another braisa that says mitnei aninus mitzvah, another braisa says that the korban was burnt, the korban of Rosh Chodesh was burnt because the kohenim were owning him, and therefore they couldn't eat it. L'chach nemar ka'ela, and therefore when Aaron is speaking to Moshe, he says v'tikrena oisi ka'ela, such things have happened to me today, implying such things, the death of Nadav and Abihu. And we see what happens by Yishma Moshe, by Yitzhak Ba'enav. Moshe heard what Aaron said, and he accepted it. He accepted that Aaron's argument is correct, that it was a valid reason to burn it because of Aninu. So that's a stira. If we were just told that Moshe had told them Mipiagura from in the name of Hashem to eat it even though it's an Aninu, then how can Moshe turn around afterwards and agree with Aaron that he shouldn't have, that it was correct for them not to do that? So the answer is, says Shmuel, these are two different opinions of Tanoim of what was going on over here. You have Rabbi Yehuda versus, sorry, not Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Nechemiah. You have Rabbi Yehuda and you have Rabbi Nechemiah.
These are
psukim. Yeah, but you can still have different ways of understanding the psukim. So yeah, it's not just Rabbi Yehuda, actually Rabbi Shimon, we're going to say in a second. Shittim Okabatis, in fact, says, Rabbi Nechemiah, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. You have Rabbi Nechemiah on one side, and you have Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon on the other side. Namely, the Tanya. As we learn in a braisa, which clarifies what machlokas is, mitnei aninus tzrufua, they burnt it, says Rav Nechemia, because they were owning him and they weren't going to be able to eat it, so therefore they burnt it. B'chach nemar ka'ela, therefore it says ka'ela, divrei Rav Nechemia, that's what Rav Nechemia says. So Rav Nechemia would have to understand those psukim, kichein tzivesi, and kichein tzivesi, and so forth. He would have to understand them. He would have to understand them differently, as we're going to say in a second. Right, but in other words, because we're going to see in a second, we're going to have the famous thing that Rashi mentions on the topic, that there's a difference between Kodshe Shah and Kodshe Dur. There's a difference between one-time korbanos, namely the korbanos of the Miluim, which are never going to be, nothing exactly like them is ever going to be brought again, versus the third of Rosh Chodesh, where the same korban is going to be brought every Rosh Chodesh throughout the time of the Mishkan and the Bate Mikdash. So in other words, Rav Nechemia would understand that the Kichein Tzivesi and Kichein Tzuvesi is talking about the Kodshei Shah and Moshe, and that Moshe deduced from that the same thing should apply to Kodshei Doris, and Aaron tells him not so. So Rav Nechemia says the reason they burnt it is because they were owning them. That's why it says Ko'ema, that Aaron says such things happen. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon say no, it's made Tumah Nitzchufa. The korban was burnt because it became Tumah. Because after all, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon say, if you're going to say it was burnt because they were owning him, then why did they burn only the third of Rosh Chodesh? They should have burnt all three. Seirim that were, there were three Seirim offered that day. You had the Seir of the Miluim, one of the Korbanos that was brought of the Miluim, or the dedication Korbanos of the Beis Mikdash, of the Mishkan. You had the Seir that was brought as part of Nachshon's Korban, because it was the first day of Nisan, and Nachshon Ben Aminadab brought his Korbanos. And then you had the Seir of Rosh Chodesh. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon argue, if you're going to tell me they burnt it because they were owning him, because they couldn't eat them, because they were owning him, then they would have had to burn all three of them. The fact is, we're saying that they only burnt one korban, so it can't be because they were owning him. It must be because that particular korban became Tommy.
The only one they bought was the bird,
was the story of a Chodesh, yeah. Dover Acher, another explanation, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon say, they could eat it that evening. They could eat it that evening, because then Rabbi Yehuda himself said before that there was a one-time exception over here where Ninus wouldn't last until that evening. And after all, a chatas can be eaten by day and by night, so they can leave it during the day and then eat it by night. Javra Asa, Valai Pinchas, and another explanation, Pinchas was along with them also. Pinchas was also a Kohen. He's not an Oinun or an Oval at this point, because Nadab and Avihu are his uncles, and you don't sit Shiva for your uncle. So therefore, Pinchas could have been eaten that
evening. He was a carbon eater.
Right. Pinchas is the son of Elazar. Of Elazar, who's the brother of Nadav and Avihu. Pinchas is the nephew of Nadav and Avihu.
You don't mourn for
a person doesn't mourn for their uncle, for their uncle, right? So therefore, so Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon say we have three reasons why you can't say they burnt the korban because they were owning it. You have to say they burnt it because it became tummy. Now, later on in the studio, we're going to explain that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are going to agree. Obviously, they were owning him that day. Everybody agrees, again, that Aninus is on the day of the Misa. What they would say, basically, the Gemara doesn't spell it out in so many words, but the implication of the Gemara is that what happened is they had to set it aside because they can't eat it during the day, and then, during the time that it was set aside, accidentally it became tummy. The point is, though, again, one is because there were three hatayos over there, and we see they only burnt one. Number two is the chattas of Nashon and the chattas of the Miluim. Number two, because they could have eaten it that evening, because then they're not owning him anymore. And number three, according to what Rabbi Yehuda himself was saying before. And number three, because they could have Pinchas eating it during the day, and then they could join him in the evening. Okay. So that's how we reconcile the two brises. That the one brisa that says that Moshe informed them, I was told by Hashem that you should eat it by Aninus. That would be a point of Yehuda and Rav Shimon. So therefore, they didn't burn it because of Aninus, because that would be contradicting what Hashem said. The only reason they could have had to burn it was because it became Tommy, and therefore Moshe accepted that as a valid reason by Yishma Moshe by Yitzhak. The second brisa that says that Mipnei Aninus Nitzrufa, that would be a point of Nechariah, who says in the last brisa we just quoted, Mipnei Aninus Nitzrufa. Rava says you don't have to say that the brises follow two different opinions. Ivy of Nechemia, both brises go according to the Nechemia, Voloi Kasha, Kan Bekod Shesha, the Reb Nechemia himself would say that there's a distinction between Kod Shesha, between Korbanos that are a one-time thing in history, versus Kod Shedurus that are going to be brought in every generation after that. So he would say, we said before that Reb Nechemia said now Ninus 3 or 4. But Reb Nechemia himself would say, when Moshe was told over to Aaron and his sons, Kichen Tiveti, Baninus Yechluha, and I was told that by Hashem, etc., that refers to the Kod Sheshah. That refers to the Kod Sheshah. Then Moshe,
Kichen
Tuveti, Tiveti, all three expressions that we use, Tuveti, Tiveti, and Kasha Tiva Hashem, are referring to the Kod Sheshah. Moshe thought that it also refers to the Kod Shedurus, and that in the end they didn't eat it because they burnt the Kod Shedurus, the one of Rosh Chodesh. And afterwards, Aaron goes and tells Moshe, you misunderstood what's going on over here. You're not, this rule that you told me only applies to Kod Shedurus, doesn't apply to Kod Shedurus. Because again, when you're talking about something that Moshe deduces on his own, then Aaron isn't. We said that the Edisha spoke to Moshe and told him about Kod Shedurus. So Moshe deduced from that. That's why we have Kichen Tzivesi versus Kichen Tzuvesi. Tzuvesi, I was commanded that you should do this with Kod Sheshah. And then Moshe, Kichen Tzivesi, I told you on my own deduction that should also apply to Kod Sheshah. which Aaron disagreed with that, which he had the right to do, because again, when it comes to the Yud Gimel Midos, that Moshe is an Aaron on an equal level as far as that. And indeed, Vayishma Moshe, Vayisa Ve'enav, Moshe heard what Aaron said and realized that Aaron was right, that he's there. There is
by the way, did we use the two things here? With the
three reasons why one of them became Tamei also? No. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are saying that yes, Moshe was told that they should eat it by Ninus, and that would have applied to all the Kovanas, Kodesh Shah and Kodesh Dodos.
Right.
But one of them ended up becoming Tamei.
That's the first one.
Yeah.
So there's no two days.
No, so there is. Kichen Tzuveisi, I was told, like we said before, I was Kichen Tzuveisi Baninu Tzichlua, Kashet Tzuveisi B'Shat Meister, et cetera, yeah.
That's
the Kodesh Dodos.
Yeah.
The Kodesh Shah and Kodesh Dodos, yeah.
But there wasn't a different interpretation
from
Moshe
and Ram in the first one. No, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, the difference is just that in the end, it became Tamei, and yes. That's what we're going to discuss later. We're going to see later on whether Gemara is going to tie Chow, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, what happened over here. Anyway, the point is,
which
we can.
Kashet
Tzuveisi went for Kodesh Shah. Tzuveisi is Moshe, according to the Nechemia, is Moshe's own deduction from that applies to Kodesh Dodos as well.
And according to...
Well, we're talking within Rim Nechemia over here.
Right.
So therefore, so Rim Nechemia would say that there's a difference between Kodesh Shah and Kodesh Dodos. And therefore, so Moshe assumed that the same rule that applies to one applies to the other, and Aaron explains to him that it's not so. It's interesting. Now, you have to ask the question. I mean, Moshe himself couldn't have realized such a logic, a distinction between Kodesh Shah and Kodesh Dodos. So, among other things, there's a sikha of the Rebbe from Memchet, where he talks about this and explains, related to what we were talking about before, Emes, that Moshe represents Midas to Emes. Aaron represents Chesed, Koyin Ish Chesed. So therefore, Moshe, from his point of view of Emes, again, Emes knows, maybe that, but more to the point is also, again, Emes knows no distinction between time. Emes is something ongoing and permanent. That's true Emes. Therefore, as from Moshe's point of view, there's no difference between Kodesh Shah and Kodesh Dodos. It doesn't matter whether it's a one-time thing or whether it's an ongoing thing. From the point of view of Emes, either way, every carbon is on the same level. Whereas Aaron, looking at it from the point of view of his derusable status, from the point of view of Das Tachton, from the point of view of the way we human beings see the world, there is a difference between Shah and Dodos. There is a difference between something ongoing versus something versus a one-time thing.
Well, why just that then?
But the point is that Aaron represents, so Moshe, so to speak, represents the point of view of Hashem.
Yeah,
Aaron, Aaron represents the point of view of us human beings. Maybe I shouldn't have said chesed, actually, but put it this way. In that sifra that ever talks about the idea, it's what the Zoya brings, that Moshe is the Shushvina de Malka, and Aaron is the Shushvina de Matrinitza, so to speak, like the groomsman and the bridegroom. Moshe is, so to speak, the escort of Hashem, the one who brings all, of course, down here onto earth. Aaron is, so to speak, the escort of the Jewish people who accomplishes the Therusid of Osata of the Jewish people. So therefore, Moshe and Aaron come at it from different perspectives, kind of. From Moshe's perspective, there's no difference between Shah and Dodos. From Aaron's perspective, there is. And Moshe agreed with Aaron, after all, we live in a time-bound world, and therefore, yes, there has to be a difference between Kodesh Shah and Kodesh Dodos.
But the Eidishtah himself didn't mention the difference.
So the Eidishtah himself mentioned Kodesh Shah, and Moshe, from his point of view, from the point of view of the Shushvin of the Malka, understood that the same thing should apply to Kodesh Dodos as well.
Why can't you say that Moshe Anitzuveti? What I was commanded, I commanded.
Fine, but we know that everything that Moshe... That's the thing. Ordinarily, we would assume everything that Moshe commanded, everything that Moshe tells people to do is what was commanded to him by Hashem. Moshe doesn't make up things on his own. Here, if the prophet finds it necessary to stress Kashet Tzuveisi, then Rav Nechemia is going to say that shows that there's a distinction over here. There's something that's Tzuveisi, but Tzuveisi directly by Hashem, and there's something that's Tzuveisi that I deduced on my own and told you. I saw, by the way, an even more interesting idea on this. The Arizal brings the idea that if they had actually eaten that third of a Chodesh instead of burning it, then the Gimel Halavana would have been completed, and basically we would have had Yemot HaMashiach. Like this we have where every month of Kiddush Levana, which is the Malach, the Gimel Halavana, that the concavity of the moon should be filled in, that the whole thing that was brought about by the moon being diminished and everything that represents as far as the way the world works with Mashpia and Makabal and some beings needing others, etc., that wouldn't have existed. And therefore, so then there's an idea that's brought, I think it was a Yidda Kodesh Mukshis that said, that that's also the difference. From Moshe's point of view, there wouldn't have been a difference between Kodesh Shah and Kodesh Doris, because had Aaron eaten the korban, then that's it. It would have been what happened then would have continued on forever. The Mishkan would have continued on forever. There never would have been a korban. There never would have been anything. Whereas Aaron didn't feel himself on that level, that me eating that korban is going to have this tremendous cosmic effect. And therefore he figured, okay, the fact is, this is a Kodesh Shah, this is a Kodesh Doris, there has to be a distinction. In other words, that's the point of that. So Moshe is telling him how things should have been, and Aaron is doing according to his understanding. The fact is, halacha is halacha, and yeah. Yeah, essentially, he would have made that now the whole fact that you have to bring a sir every month, the expression goes in the Gemara, that Hashem could bring a kapara for me that I had to diminish the moon, wouldn't have been necessary anymore, because the moon wouldn't have been diminished anymore, and everything that represents would have also been changed. But Aaron didn't realize, and therefore he treated it like the usual rule of Kodesh Hashem.
Yeah, but look at and what's more amazing is
So then in the end, Moshe had to agree with Aaron. Okay, look, it's a done deal already. The opportunity has been missed. Given that the opportunity has been missed, then yes, there is, from now on, there is going to be a difference between Kodesh Shah and Kodesh Dirt. That distinction would have been erased if you, Aaron, had eaten the korban rather than burning it. But because you didn't, therefore it's a done deal, and therefore we have to agree that there's Kodesh Shah versus Kodesh Dirt.
Did not tell him not to burn it. He told him to eat it.
He told him to eat it, but then and
why did he do differently than he was told?
Because again, what our Gemara is saying over here is Rav Nechemia says that the fact that his Kodesh Shah are on an equal level with Kodesh Doris was not something that Moshe was explicitly told by Hashem, says Rav Nechemia. It's something that Moshe deduced on his own, and Aaron, on a level of halacha, is entitled to disagree with that.
In other words, Moshe told Aaron, this is what Hashem told me, and this is what I'm telling you should do.
Right.
And Aaron said, listen, I'm going to do what Hashem told you, and it's not going to
But as far as what you told me, on your own understanding, that I disagree with, because from my point, as Rebbe said, from my point of view, from the point of view of the Shushvin and the Masurinista, there's a difference between Kodesh Shah and Kodesh Derech. Yeah.
Well, even without Kabbalah, it's just simple. I'm a Kabbalah,
David mentioned that this rule applies, that this rule banning the Sikh law applies to Kodesh Shah.
Yeah, that's the central part of the whole thing.
Yeah.
How do you know that? We don't
because when it says to they say
what?
Because what does it take?
What was commanded was
Kuh HaMincha HaNeseres Me'isha Hashem, take the mincha. In fact, to eat a mincha like that, to eat a mincha tzibur itself is something unusual to swallow. Usually a mincha tzibur is completely burnt on the mizbeach. So here we were saying that the mincha should be taken and eaten. That itself is kodesh shah. That mincha, because that's what it was. That mincha was a kodesh shah. It was a one-time thing that was brought. Wait a minute, you don't know. What do you mean? You don't know? Then you need to read. Yes, because it was Kodesh Shah. There is no other mincha like it in future generations that the tzibur brings that is eaten, except for the korban ha'omer, which is a special type of mincha. There is no other mincha tzibur like this. That is where part of it is burned on the mizbeach and the rest is eaten. That mincha itself was Kodesh Shah. So Hashem is telling Moshe to tell Aaron and his sons that you should eat this mincha. That's talking about Kodesh Shah. And if so, again, Moshe deduced from that the same rule should apply to Kodesh Shah as well. However, Aaron disagreed with that. So and we'll continue tomorrow about the same analyzing the story according to both of them.